Good evening. That was a nice introduction, wasn't it? So, isn't that a testimony awesome from Mickey? Absolutely awesome. You know, what I want to talk to you about tonight is about Christmas, but it's about Jesus. Most important thing about Christmas is Jesus, isn't it? Jesus coming to the earth. And I want to talk to you a bit about that in terms of Jesus is light, and he came into darkness when he came to earth from heaven. And, you know, the other day, my six-year-old daughter, Georgia, she said to me, Daddy, is it all right for Christians to have Christmas wishes? And she asked me some hard questions sometimes. So I thought, is it all right? So I said, yeah, it's all right. As long as you ask Jesus for those wishes. Then that's all right. Is that a good answer? That sounds all right, doesn't it? Okay, thanks. And then she said, okay, I'll ask Jesus, and I'll ask him to get Santa to give me my Christmas wishes. So, you know, the world's like that, actually, at Christmas time. It's a mixture of things. It's a mixture of the world and a little bit about Jesus. You know, but really, Christmas is about Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about Jesus coming as the light of the world, coming down into darkness and being our light. And I want to read to you tonight from John chapter 1. So if you've got your Bibles, I just want to read to you the first 9 verses of John's Gospel. You know, John's Gospel is different from the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, because it doesn't talk about the birth of Jesus so much. At the beginning, it talks differently about how that came about. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. So we're going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. Amen. That true light was Jesus. So in him, it says, was life, and that life was the light of men. I wonder if you have the light of men in your life yet. You see, when light is mentioned in the Bible, it's to do with life. But when darkness is mentioned, it's to do with death. I'm going to tell you a bit about both tonight. You know, in the beginning, when God created the earth, the heavens and the earth, you can read in Genesis 1, God's plan was to separate the darkness from the light. Let me read you what it says in Genesis 1, verse 4. God saw that the light was good, and he separated it from the darkness. You see, light and darkness are opposite, aren't they? They can't go together. They can't be together. It's impossible for light and darkness to really exist together. It's either light or it's dark, isn't it? We either have light or we have darkness. And I wonder which you have tonight. I wonder which kind of spiritual area you're in. Are you in the area of light? If you know Jesus and you really know him, you have a relationship with him like Mickey was talking about, then you have the light, you're in the light. But if you don't have that relationship, no matter how many times you come to church, no matter how many songs you sing to God, unless you really have a relationship with Jesus, I'm afraid you are still in the dark. And I would like to give you the opportunity to come to Jesus, to come to the light, and I want to tell you about what that means tonight. So, in this gospel, in those verses I read, in the 5th verse, John says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. That's where the world is, actually. That's where the UK is at the moment. That's where Europe is at the moment, in darkness. A dark place where we live. I'm not talking about night and day here. I'm talking about spiritual darkness that we're in as a nation and in Europe. A place of spiritual darkness. You know, I went into a card shop the other day, a couple of days ago, and I thought, I'm going to find some cards to send to people, because my wife asked me to do that. So I went to the card shop, and I thought I'll easily be able to find some cards with Jesus on, some cards about Jesus. And it took me ages, absolutely ages. I was searching this card shop, and they did have a couple of cards about Jesus, but they were pushed right to the back of all the other cards. You know, the world doesn't see the light of Jesus, even at Christmas time. Isn't that sad? Isn't it a sad state of being that the world is in darkness? The world around us is surrounded by darkness. You know, that word darkness is mentioned 196 times in the Bible. Quite a lot, isn't it? And whenever it's mentioned, it's in relation to three things. One is sin, one is death, and one is hell. Neither of those things are to do with the light that Jesus has brought us. None of those things are really to do with Christmas, actually. But yet at Christmas, there is deep darkness. You know, I'm an academic, I'm afraid. I'm a researcher, so I like the detail of things and I like finding evidence for things. And I was looking about light and darkness in some studies I was reading. And I was looking at this one study. This is how much of a fun guy I am. I was looking at, you know, the levels of crime at Christmas. Told you it was fun. And it said some quite shocking things, you know. I'm not going to give you percentages, but it gave lots of percentages. I won't give you those. But it said, at Christmas time, more than any other time, alcohol consumption is at its highest. More than any other time in this country and across Europe, alcohol consumption is at its highest. And what does that mean? Well, it means that illnesses caused by alcohol consumption, drunken disputes, drink driving is higher as well. Dark, isn't it? That's a dark state of being. Do you know that murder rates are at their height at Christmas time? At their height? Hang on a minute. This is meant to be a time when light shines into darkness, isn't it? But it isn't. It isn't for many people. Do you know there's more burglaries at Christmas than there are at any other time? Do you know that people... They do, yeah. 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 Actually, you're right, but people do need Jesus, don't they? They need Jesus. Burglaries at their height. You know, people go in and they steal people's Christmas presents under their tree. That's dark, isn't it? And the levels of debt in this country and across Europe are at their height during Christmas time, in the lead up to Christmas time. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty bad. You know, before I became a Christian 7 years ago, Christmas was a very dark time for me. Christmas, for me, was about drinking as much as I possibly could, getting as drunk as I possibly could, going out with my friends and doing dark things in dark places. You know, when I came into the office that I share with Stuart, I was a mess, an absolute mess. I was in such a dark place, and I didn't realize it. I wonder if you're in a dark place. I wonder if you realize it. I want to give you an opportunity tonight to get out of that darkness, to come into the light of Jesus. It's only Jesus that can save you from the darkness. You know, the Bible talks about sin, and it talks about sin leading to death. You know, our sins, the things that we do wrong, lead to death. The Bible says the wages for our sins, what they earn, is death. And death is darkness, isn't it? If you think about death and you're not a Christian and you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you don't know where you're going after you die, that's darkness, isn't it? Some people believe, many people I work with are atheists, and they believe that that's it. When you die, that's it. Darkness. That doesn't make me feel all warm and happy inside, does it you? But it doesn't have to be like that. Actually, there's worse darkness than that. The Bible, Jesus himself, talks about even worse darkness than that. Jesus says a few different things about darkness. He says, the man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. You know, there was a power cut Friday before last. I don't know if you remember it, in Middlesbrough. All the lights went off. Doesn't happen very often, doesn't it, anymore, a power cut. But there was a power cut and all the lights went off and it was just about to get dark, I think. And I was in my office. I was doing some stuff, probably researching those things that I told you about on my computer. And, you know, suddenly everything became dark and I couldn't really see. I couldn't really see what to do. You know, we're so used to having electricity in the light, aren't we, that we don't know what to do when it's dark. So I just sat there in the dark. I was like, well, I'm not going to go anywhere because I can't see anything. And what should I do? I'll just stay here, you know. And then Stuart came and he said, oh, the lights have gone off. And I said, yeah, I know. I'm sat in the darkness. And we didn't know what to do, you know. But the truth is, you don't know where you're going, do you? When it's dark, when there's no light to show you the way, to show you where to go. Jesus said something else. Whenever he talked about hell, or quite often when he talked about hell, Jesus referred to the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That doesn't sound like a nice place. That's the ultimate darkness, you know. After death, there is another darkness. It's called hell. There's eternity, but it's in hell. If you don't follow Jesus, you're going to hell, a place where there's darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place that's been called eternal damnation. I don't want to go there, do you? No. Hallelujah. We don't have to. Amen. I haven't said anything yet, but amen. We don't have to go there because you can know tonight that you're heading for a different place, for a place called heaven that Jesus called paradise, which sounds quite a lot better than weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can go to heaven, eternal life, eternal light. Let me tell you a bit about that. So darkness is mentioned 196 times in the Bible. Light is mentioned 440 times in the Bible, a little bit more often. Four times as much, actually. Jesus came, and Christmas is all about the bringing of spiritual light, spiritual illumination to our lives. Not practically, but spiritually. The spiritual, you know, is more important than the practical. Do you know that? That what you believe spiritually is what will get you to heaven. It's not about what you do. It's about what you believe. And I wonder if you believe in Jesus. I wonder if you believe that Jesus is the light. You know, many prophets in the Old Testament talked about the coming of Jesus. They talked about the nation of Israel being in darkness and the fact that there needed to be a Savior coming, a Savior who would save them from sin and death and hell, which is where many were heading because they needed a Savior, because it's not about what we do. We can't earn our place in heaven. No, Jesus had to come in order to give us a place in heaven. Jesus wants to give you a Christmas present tonight. He wants to offer you a way out of darkness, and it's only him that can do it. Only Jesus can give you eternal light. You know, I want to tell you a story about a guy called Louis Zamperini. Has anyone ever heard of Louis Zamperini? Okay, I'll tell you about him. So I hadn't heard of him, either until I watched a film about him. There's a film that's out at the moment, I think it was out last year, called Unbroken. Maybe you've seen that film. It's a very good film. It's actually about God. I don't know if you realized that as you watched it. Angelina Jolie directed that film. But the story is about this guy called Louis Zamperini. And the story is about God and his journey of faith. And he's got an amazing story, this guy. And the reason I'm telling you this is because at a point in his life, this guy, he decided to focus on the light when he was in deep, deep darkness. Let me tell you about him. So this Louis Zamperini, he was an Italian-American guy, and he grew up and became an athlete. And he was quite a successful distance runner, a 5K runner. And he went to the Olympic Games in 1936 at Berlin, Hitler's Olympic Games, and he competed at that Olympic Games. And he was set to compete at the next Olympic Games in 1940 in Tokyo. But the war broke out, the Second World War broke out, and the Games, the Olympic Games, was cancelled. So Louis Zamperini enlisted for the US Air Force, the Air Corps, the equivalent of our RAF. And he joined this kind of regiment. I don't know if it's called a regiment in the Air Force, but anyway. He joined this group, this squadron, and he became part of this group who would search for planes that had gone down. So he was sent to the Pacific, to the war in the Pacific, and his job was to search and rescue people whose planes had crashed and were in the sea. And so he was out on a rescue mission once with, there was 11 of these guys, okay, and they were out on this rescue mission in this plane. And they were about 800 miles from where they set off from, looking for this airplane that was meant to be somewhere. And their plane began to fail. Their engine started to blow. One engine went, and then another engine went, and then it was clear that they were going to have to crash land into the sea. And they went into the sea, and all of them died, apart from three guys. And one of them was Louis Zamperini. Another one was called Phil. Another one was called Mac. And these guys were stranded at sea. They were stranded at sea for days and days on end. And they survived by catching rainwater and by trying to catch fish. So they caught a couple of big albatrosses. You know what an albatross is? A big, like, seagull, a massive one. And they caught a couple of those, and they ate those, and then they kept a little bit of what they ate, and they used it to catch these little fish. And they caught fish, and they ate them raw, and that's what they survived on. And they lived like that and survived like that for 33 days. All of that time, they're absolutely battered by the sun. This is the Pacific. The nearest place was Hawaii. Okay, they were battered by the sun, by storms. They even had sometimes a Japanese bomber aeroplane firing at them. Okay, it was horrific for them. And after 33 days, Mac, one of the three guys, died. And the other two guys that were left, Louis Zamperini and Phil, they were left surviving in that way. They were constantly attacked by sharks. It was a horrific time. And then there was a big storm, and they were swept quite a long way away, and they landed on the Marshall Islands after 47 days at sea. It's quite a long time, isn't it, to be living like that at sea. But they were alive, these two. And as soon as they got there, they were in enemy territory. They were captured by the Japanese Navy, and they were took and imprisoned and put in a prisoner of war camp, actually many prisoner of war camps, and for 2 years they were tortured mercilessly. They were tortured and beaten mercilessly for 2 whole years until the war ended. And after the war ended, I just want to read to you what his biography says. So this Louis Zamperini was released after the end of the war in 1945, and he returned to the United States. And after the war, he had nightmares about strangling his former captors. You know, he was so angry at them that he wanted to strangle them, and would have dreams about doing it. And he was so angry and so in deep kind of distress that he began to drink heavily in order to try and dull the pain, in order to get away from that pain that he was in. He started to drink heavily, trying to forget all of his horrific experiences being tortured, that horrific experience of being at sea. And his wife, Cynthia, at that time, was starting to become a Christian. His wife, Cynthia, attended one of the crusades led by a man called Billy Graham, who you might have heard of. Billy Graham was in Los Angeles, where Louis Zamperini lived. And his wife went to a meeting, and she was saved. She became born again. It says she became a born-again Christian. And that means that she said yes to Jesus and allowed the light of Jesus to come into her life. And later on, Louis, who was still in this alcoholic mess kind of state, he was convinced by his wife and her Christian friends to go to a Billy Graham meeting, and he was saved. Louis Zamperini came to faith in Jesus. He reluctantly went to a meeting, and he came away having met Jesus for himself. And he says that Billy Graham's preaching reminded him of his prayers that he'd said during the time he was on that life raft in the sea and during the time he was imprisoned. And he recommitted his life to Christ and he forgave his captors. He forgave all those people who tortured him. There was one guy in particular who they nicknamed the Bird, who was a psychopath who did some horrific things to Louis Zamperini, who singled him out because he was an Olympic athlete, singled him out and absolutely made his life hell. And Louis was determined to forgive him and all the others. So he went and he actually founded a camp for young boys, encouraging them to come to faith in Jesus, called Victory Boys Camp. And he went in 1950 to a Tokyo prison where many of his former captors were held for war crimes. You know, the things that they did to people in the war made them accountable, and they paid the price, many of them with life imprisonment, for the things that they did. And anyway, he went to prison and he told them about Jesus, and he told them that they were forgiven if they come to Jesus. And isn't that a nice story? Isn't that nice that you can have freedom from anything in Jesus? You know, Louis Zamperini chose to focus upon Jesus. He could have stayed an alcoholic and been angry all of his life until the day he died. But he chose Jesus, and you can choose Jesus as well. I wonder what area of darkness you're in. I wonder what area of darkness is holding you back. Maybe you're a Christian and there's something, some area of sin in your life that you can't get free of. Jesus wants to set you free tonight. You know, Jesus came into our darkness so that we can choose his light. You know, the prophet Micah says, though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. Even though we're in this dark world, brothers and sisters, we can choose light. So I want to ask you tonight, what do you want from God? You know, presumably, hopefully, you've not come here tonight just out of religion, just because you have to come to church, you feel like you need to come to church. Hopefully you've come to meet with God. Have you come to meet with God? Hallelujah. Well, what of these things do you want? I believe that Jesus wants to give us gifts tonight. You know, Jesus gives the best gifts. God gives the best gifts. The Bible says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. That's nice, isn't it? Do you know that your Father in heaven wants to give you whatever you want tonight? Do you want forgiveness and freedom for yourself? Jesus came to offer you that tonight. Do you know whether you have eternal life tonight? The best gift that anyone could get is eternal life. And you can have it for yourself tonight. If you're not sure whether you have it, I'm going to give you an opportunity to be sure in a moment. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you've come here with an illness, with a sickness, maybe you're in pain. Well, I want to speak to your pain and say, go now, pain, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we're going to pray for you if you want that. If you want healing, you can really be healed tonight. I mean, it's not just something we say, you know. You can experience healing for yourself tonight if you really want it. Do you believe that you can be healed? I want to encourage you to get prayer for healing. You know, maybe there's something that you're struggling with in your life. Maybe it's someone who's connected with you, is struggling with something. Many of you know that I have a son called Nathaniel who has autism. And he was diagnosed with autism 2.5 years ago. And we have been struggling with that ever since. It's been difficult for us to have our son have this problem, have this condition. But you know what? We've chosen to believe that he's going to be healed because God has told us that he's going to be healed. We're not just going to put up with that. We're going to decide to focus on a dream that God gave us. You see, a little while ago, I've told you this before, some of you, but we went on holiday. And while we were on holiday, my wife and I had a dream on the same night. And that dream was that our son would be speaking and would not be autistic anymore. He doesn't say a word at the moment. But we believe that that dream, I mean, is it common to have a dream on the same night about the same thing? It's not, is it? We believe that that's from God. We believe that God has a plan for our son to be healed. And God has a plan for you to be healed as well. And maybe it's tonight. What if God's plan was for you to come to this meeting to be healed? I want to encourage you to not sit in the darkness of illness and sickness and pain anymore and come and be healed tonight. So what do you want? Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Do you want that light tonight? I'd like to pray for you. If you'd like to bow your heads and close your eyes, that would be awesome. Thank you. First of all, I want to pray for those of you who feel like you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're sat in spiritual darkness and you don't know where you're going after you die. The most important thing tonight is that you know that you are going to heaven after you die. And the only gate to heaven, the only bridge to heaven, the only way is Jesus. So if that's you, if you want to come to faith in Jesus, if you want to come out of the spiritual darkness that will lead you straight to hell, and you want to come into the light of heaven after you die, while everyone's eyes are closed and everyone's head is bowed and only I can see you, I'd like you to just raise your hand. If you want to come to faith in Jesus for the first time and know that you're going to heaven after you die, then raise your hand just quickly. And you're not waving at me. You're actually saying to God, I want this. Well done. You can put your hands down. Well done. Well done. Is there anyone else? Anyone else wants to come to faith in Jesus? Okay, well done. So, I'm going to pray for you first of all. I just want to encourage you. Can you say this all out loud after me? Can everyone say it? That would be brilliant. So, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for coming into the world as light into darkness. I choose now to say sorry for my sins. And I want to follow you now for the rest of my life. Thank you for sending Jesus. I choose to believe in you, Jesus. Please come into my life and change it from this point forward. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. Change me from the inside out. Amen.